Commonwealth's eviction moratorium ends on Saturday. Governor Baker initially extended the ban from its original deadline of August 18th, but won't do it again. Instead, this week, the governor announced a $170 million eviction diversion initiative for tenants and landlords. Critics say that isn't nearly enough, and the ban should be extended to the end of the year. So let's talk about that. Are you worried about the possibility of eviction? What questions do you have about what you can do to prepare or to get help? And what do you think the state ought to do? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or send us a tweet at Radio Boston. We're going to begin our conversation with State Representative Mike Conley, who represents the 26th Middlesex District. State Rep Conley, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thank you, Tiziana.
So you have called on Governor Baker to extend the current eviction and foreclosure moratorium. He has said he's not going to do that, that it's going to expire on Saturday. But why do you want him to extend it?
Well, first and foremost, because many of the critical elements of his initiative aren't even in place yet. Right now, I'm looking on my computer screen at the COVID-19 eviction diversion frequently asked questions up on mass.gov. And it says that there will be legal representation options and community mediation options, but it also says that these programs will not be fully operational for several weeks and that people can check back later to get details about those programs. That's just not going to work when this tsunami of evictions begins early next week.
So I hear you about that lag and the concern there. I also want to ask, he extended the moratorium once, and is there a point at which we just can't keep extending it? We have to find another solution, considering the ripple effect on the state's economy, on landlords, the level of debt that people would be in once it was lifted. How about that financial dimension of it?
Well, sure, you know, there's a point to be made there, but a couple of points I would highlight. On the one hand, the Centers for Disease Control has issued an order where they've articulated that as a matter of policy, there should be no evictions of COVID-impacted tenants for the rest of this year. Also, you know, the money is very much welcome, the $171 million that the governor announced. A lot of these funds came from the CARES Act. The legislature took action earlier this year to give the governor flexibility with this money. But frankly, this money should have been released sooner, and it would make a lot more sense to keep the moratorium in place and let that money go to work in the coming weeks and months before we start to see up to 200,000 evictions. And that was the high estimate provided just yesterday. It was reported that the Chief Justice of the Massachusetts Trial Court thinks we could be facing up to 200,000 evictions.
So let's stay on that for a minute. We talked to Doug Quattrocci earlier today with Mass Landlords, and he agrees on the needs for solutions, but to a point that you made at the beginning of that last answer, he says we don't need to panic before the October deadline. Here's what he had to say.
At the highest possible level, there's no need to panic and act something quickly because the CDC moratorium has 86% of renters covered nationwide. You can't be evicted if you can't pay rent due to COVID through the end of this year. And it's 100% of low and moderate income renters.
So you made the point as well that many are covered by the CDC moratorium. So why not extend the moratorium for landlord's sake, but use the $171 million, and again, not all of that is actually in rent support, but to support those who aren't covered by the CDC moratorium?
Well, you know, it's really not that simple. For one thing, the Trump administration is actively working to undermine the CDC moratorium. And the Washington Post reported this late last week that Trump's Department of Justice has been narrowing this moratorium. And so that leaves us in a position, and frankly, I find it unbelievable that we now in Massachusetts are turning to our most vulnerable residents and we're saying, we are going to trust Donald Trump and his Department of Justice and his CDC to offer you a very thin layer of eviction protection. And so when I reference the CDC moratorium, I think what we can do is we can look to the CDC as our leading infectious disease and public health institution and recognize that as a matter of policy, they have indicated there shouldn't be evictions for the rest of this year. But in terms of implementing that policy, we shouldn't rely on anything that's connected to the Trump administration. We ought to implement or extend, at the very least, the current moratorium. And that is a position that it's not just me saying that. The Boston Globe said that in an editorial yesterday, as mm-hmm. well as the Metropolitan Area Planning Council. Their official position is to call on the governor to extend the current moratorium, let this $171 million go to work, and let the other support pieces actually get ramped up and running and make them available to everyone.
Let's go to the phones, 800-423-8255. Lynn is on from Tewksbury. Lynn, you are on with State Representative Mike Connolly. Go ahead.
Hello, Representative. Thank you for having me. My point on this is I'm really kind of sick and tired of the people always being the ones to have to bail everybody out, including the banks. Every 10 to 15 years, something happens, we have to bail out the banks. It seems to be a pretty regular pattern. I think they really just need to eat the loss this time. And I think we should just tell them, no, you're not getting those mortgages. You're not getting those rates from the landlords, and then the landlords don't have to collect from their tenants. And that leaves the only things being owed as tax and utility. Those are things we can work with, but I think it's about time the banks ate it and took a loss for once. Because no matter
Thanks for
what,
that, Lynn.
No matter how bad it gets, they always come out ahead. I think they need a loss this time.
And let's go back to you, State Representative Connolly.
You know, I sympathize with that statement. You know, there have been reports that, for example, billionaires have increased their wealth by hundreds of billions of dollars since this pandemic started. And to be clear, the $171 million announcement by the governor, again, that's a welcome step. The lion's share of that money, most of it will wind up either supporting landlords or wind up with the banks. And certainly our small landlords do need support. But, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for the fact that the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, particularly in this COVID-19 economic crisis that has disproportionately impacted those at the lowest end of the economic spectrum.
You expressed some frustration earlier that the governor had not made more money available and gotten ahead of this sooner. The State House has also not acted sooner. I mean, we're still facing the end of this moratorium on Saturday. You were at the State House today trying to get an emergency petition considered, and one of the things you tweeted in part was, quote, the emergency petition was sent to the Senate for concurrence. However, the Senate has already adjourned for the weekend, so I just doubted the presence of a quorum and shut down the House to protest 11 weeks of inaction, unquote. Did you think you'd be able to get the Senate and the House to pass something, or was your work there today symbolic about what's going on?
You know, I think it was certainly an uphill battle to think that one representative could pass an emergency law in one day. But for me, it was really a matter of conscience. You know, I mean, I consider myself to be both a legislator and an activist in the fight for housing justice. I was raised in public housing out in Norwood, Massachusetts. I'm a lifelong renter. And so for me, I couldn't sit idly by as we now go on 3 months of no formal legislative sessions, no debate, no roll call votes on Beacon Hill. There was one final informal session of the House of Representatives today. And with people out in the streets here in Massachusetts, there's video today. Protesters have actually shut down courthouses in Kansas City, as I understand it. They've chained themselves to the doors to stop evictions. So this is a national crisis. For my part, I have the privilege of serving in the legislature. I wanted to be there doing everything I could just so I could look back and say I didn't leave any stone unturned before this eviction tsunami takes over in the coming days.
In our last minute or so, an investigation by WBUR found that there are landlords who have been circumventing the current moratorium, and State Attorney General Maura Healey told us they've received more than 200 complaints from tenants. Is that something that you are looking into or acting on?
It is, and you know, I have referred complaints to the Attorney General. The Attorney General's office has been terrific in enforcing our current law. And it brings up another point that I'll make quickly, and this is a big problem. Just because a tenant qualifies for rental assistance does not mean that a landlord has to necessarily cooperate. And that is, you know, we need to pass legislation to guarantee a right to cure if a tenant falls behind. We can be in the situation where a landlord can say, I don't want to accept the raft money or the rental assistance money, I'm just going to do an eviction anyway. So that's a problem. And then a whole other problem, final thing I'll say, is there's the whole matter of informal evictions. You know, if people actually end up in the housing court with an attorney working out a deal with their landlord, that, you know, that could be a pretty positive situation. The thing that concerns me the most is now that this headline is going out that the moratorium is lifted, vulnerable tenants, sometimes non-English speakers, will be getting these very threatening notices to quit from their landlords. And our frontline housing service attorneys tell us they're, in many cases, end up feeling pressured or compelled to just abandon their housing, relinquish their rights. And in this time of COVID-19, we know that is ultimately going to lead to more spread of the disease and more death. And so that's why so many people are taking this so seriously. So I'm once again just appealing to the governor, extend the moratorium, give us all the chance to start to put these pieces in action and do the best for the most vulnerable here in Massachusetts.
And that's State Representative Mike Conley, who represents the 26th Middlesex District. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
So let's turn now to somebody who can answer questions and give us an idea of the resources available now through the state to those who are affected by the end of this moratorium. And if you have questions about resources, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Stephanie Cox joins us now on the line. Stephanie is the executive director of the Regional Housing Network of Massachusetts. Welcome, Stephanie.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
So let me just give you a chance to first react to what we heard from State Representative Conley and his conversation with the caller and his conversation with me.
Well, certainly, I appreciate all the effort and intentions that have gone into the representative's advocacy. And certainly when it comes to the resources that are available, I want to clarify that the Emergency Rental and Mortgage Assistance Funds that can be used to stay in your home. While it's true the landlord has a choice in the matter of whether or not to accept it, those funds can also be used for someone to put towards first, last, and security at a new place. And there's other resources such as Homebase. If somebody simply has no ability to pay at all moving forward and they need a new place, they can use that fund to have sustainability, you know, for rent over the next several months, potentially up to a year. So there are actually a lot of resources available for tenants.
So what should people be doing now, right now, if they are concerned or believe they are at risk for eviction after the 17th?
Well, first and foremost, if you or someone you know is in risk of losing your home, whether you're behind in the rent now or you think that you may be, it's really important to apply immediately. So you can go to mahousinghelp.com, and that's where you can find out about the RAFT program and other resources and how to start the application process and what to expect. But we are dealing with pandemic level demand. There are a lot of families ahead of you. And so it's important not to wait. You don't want to get that notice to quit or that court summons, as the representative referenced, that, you know, we really encourage people not to wait to go ahead and apply for assistance. There is also, as this new the CDC moratorium is taking effect, there are certain requirements under that that didn't exist under the state moratorium, including that you have to fill out a form and give it to your landlord that attests that you are applying for assistance and that you're making a good faith effort to pay. So for example, if all you can afford of your rent right now is $300 a month, but you're paying that $300 a month, that is something that will help to protect you moving forward. There's a lot of other resources on the state's COVID-19 housing help website as well that can help families and individuals who are trying to navigate this process. And in the coming weeks, the Housing Consumer Education Centers across the Commonwealth will be packaging various services such as mediation, access to attorneys, and along with these financial resources that would be available for people.
And again, that's masshousinghelp.com. And listeners, we will put a link to that on our webpage at radioboston.org. So I want to ask, let's take a step back for a second, Stephanie. We are 7 months or so, depending on where you count, we're even longer into the pandemic and the ensuing economic crisis. If we had not had a moratorium through October 17th, how long ago would we have reached a crisis point in evictions? Give us a sense of what is pent up behind this dam.
It's really hard to gauge that. I think that's the million-dollar question that everyone from the courts to the governor's office to our agencies have been trying to answer. Because when there is no legal mechanism there, then and if people aren't walking through our doors, we don't know. Certainly, there is an estimate that there's probably about 11,000 odd evictions that are just simply in the backlog that normally would have proceeded in non-COVID times on a monthly basis through this period. So
I'm sorry, I just want to qualify, 11,000 evictions per month during this period under normal circumstances?
No, total.
Total. Okay,
so,
thank you.
So if we hadn't had COVID and things had continued along under normal circumstances, there probably would have been somewhere in the range of about 10 to 11,000 odd evictions that would have happened normally. Now you add COVID on top of that, it could be anywhere from 20 to 60. I mean, there's a pretty broad range, and it's hard to ascertain that because there's not a lot of great data about default rates when it comes to just non-payment of rent.
Stephanie, I'd like to get a call in here, 800-423-8255. We've got Samantha on the line from Coolidge Corner. Samantha, go ahead.
Hi, yes. My comment is that it seems like a shame that people would be evicted in such a low demand market for rentals, and then because we'll have people kind of out on the street and then empty apartments.
Thank you for that call, Samantha. And I'll bring it back to you, Stephanie Cox, and say, with that in mind, and I have heard other people speculate, you know, no one can afford to rent a new apartment either. Now, you've just said that there can be financial assistance for first, last, and security deposit. But what are you hearing from landlords' organizations? And is there a desire on both sides to mediate, come up with payment plans, take other approaches that avoid eviction on both sides?
Sure. So I think, first of all, it's important to qualify that while there has been people moving out of Boston and other metropolitan areas, certainly there, rentals are not limited to just apartments. I rent, but I rent a house. And so in lots of different areas, landlords have choices. I live here on the Cape, where there's a really hot sales market. So my landlord could choose to sell this property for a second homeowner to live in. So I think that's important to qualify that where you are in the state matters. Secondly, I would say that landlords that we speak to, they really do want to communicate with their tenants. And I think that there's fear on both sides, right? And fear sometimes makes us not speak to one another, but that is the best thing that both parties can be doing. I think most landlords recognize they may not be made 100% whole out of the resources that are available and the current situation that we're all in. We're all in this together. And I think as far as tenants, that the more that you do communicate, and I understand there's always bad apples, there's always some, hostile landlords that are, I think, the exception to the rule. But if you do have a relationship with your landlord, it's important to communicate with them, let them know as soon as you know that you're going to be behind, and try to work out a payment plan. And now that we have additional resources coming in as far as the RAFT program, we can work out a deal so that a significant portion of the arrearages is paid for through RAFT, and the tenant is paying a portion of their income, whatever that may be, towards the rent for the next 6 months or so. And the RAFT program fills in the gaps. And that may mean the landlord taking a little bit of a haircut on the rent moving forward for the next 6 months. But I think in general, to Samantha's point, we definitely have people who understand the need for shared sacrifice in this time. And I don't think anybody's really looking to make a big profit. It's about staying afloat for small landlords. And, we know a lot of small landlords who, if they don't get help, they're going to sell that property. They're going to short-term rent that property. And that ends up hurting the tenant as well. That ends up displacing the tenant as well.
So Stephanie, last question, and very briefly, really just a yes or no question. $171 million in the Eviction Diversion Initiative. Will the state run out of money?
We're definitely going to need more money, and we'll be monitoring that and sharing that, how fast the burn rate is on that with the administration and the legislature as time goes on. But we appreciate the investment, and it's a big first step.
And where can the state turn? What's the long-term solution here?
I think we would need a crystal ball on that in terms of the federal government. As far as resources, that's really what everyone is holding out hope for. And then if it's not that, then we have to look at other options. But unlike the federal government, Massachusetts needs to have a balanced budget. So that does create challenges for lawmakers.
And that is Stephanie Cox, the Executive Director of the Regional Housing Network of Massachusetts. Stephanie, I really appreciate the time today. Thank you.
Thank you.